Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. We've got a great show today. In just a few minutes, we are going to interview the author of a book called Bridging Species, Thoughts and Tales About Our Lives with Dogs. The author's name is Robin Fritz. And we're going to be starting in on an interview with her in the second segment, and we have a couple copies of the book to give away later on in the show as well. So we've got some dog talk show trivia coming down the pipes.
Ooh, my favorite.
Ooh. I know, it's been a little while. I gave away some stamps in recent shows for dog talk show trivia, but we've got a couple copies of this book, which is called Bridging Species. It's a fun book to read. I just about finished it yesterday, and it's great. She's got a lot of thoughts about life with dogs and reflections about her life with her own dogs. She has two Cavalier King Charles Spaniels, which we'll also get to go into the breed a little bit as well and kind of talk about them as a breed, because she talks about them quite a bit in the book. Murphy and Alki are the names of her two Cavaliers. And actually just got done working with a couple Cavaliers, doing an intensive training program with them, a six-month-old female and then a two-year-old male. And they were very cute. They have like doll faces. Very, very cute little dogs. Have some announcements. As I have said in past weeks, there are a couple of events that are coming up that I am very much looking forward to this summer. So I will be announcing them every week until they arrive, to make sure that everybody hears about them and hopefully you can make it. First one is Gilda's Club, Seattle. And Gilda's Club is a organization that supports people whose lives have been or are touched by cancer. So whether it's family members who have cancer or whether it is the individual themselves who is being treated for cancer or recovered, Gilda's Club offers lots of support for people and their families. Educational classes, support just as far as the stresses of it. I think, even if you've lost someone due to cancer, it's just a wonderful, wonderful organization. And Gilda is Gilda Radner, who's a comedian who was on Saturday Night Live. And she's got the dark, like black frizzy hair. And she's a very tiny woman. She's very, very funny. And she died of ovarian cancer. So there was a club started in her name, and they are all over the nation. So there is a Gilda's Club in Seattle, and the website is gildasclubseattle.org, gildasclubseattle.org. So you can go to this website to find out more about Gilda's Club. And how it pertains to the Dog Talk Show is that they are having their first annual dog walk as a fundraiser to support Gilda's Club. And it is Sunday, July 25th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Magnuson Park, which is in Seattle off of Sandpoint Way. And there's a 1 or 3 mile dog walk, which is open to everyone with or without a dog. Registration, individual is $30, family of three is $60. With $10 each additional person. Children under 12 come free. Fun games, prizes, and you can find out more about that or to register, go to the website, which is gildasclubseattle.org. It's a great organization, and we are very excited to be there. My mom, who is actually an ovarian cancer survivor, is flying out from the Boston area to be there for this event. So we are really excited to participate in this event as well. So hope you can make it to that. And then the next weekend is Northwest Wiener Fest in Elma, Washington. And it is an event to support Almost Home Dachshund Rescue, and the National Dachshund Races will be there, which is just a riot. And I think that we are leaning towards racing Leia during those races. I don't think we can really resist that. So that it's just a riot, and it's a great fundraiser for rescues, not just Dachshund Rescue, but also some other local rescues. The website for that is wienerfestnw.com, and that's wienerfestnw.com. Northwest Wienerfest 2010, and this is going to be a big event. It's all weekend, Saturday and Sunday, July 31st and August 1st, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. We are packing everybody up and going down for the weekend. It's at Grays Harbor County Fairground Pavilion and Expo Center. Races, contests, vendors, rescues, food, free activities, and more. Local and national Dachshund Rescue benefits and also promotes all animal rescue in the Pacific Northwest. It is only $2 a day, so affordable. Parking and children 5 and under are free. Let's see. You can do pre-registration. You can go online to do that if you want to register your very fast wiener dog. Feel free to do that. There's also going to be lots of other contests. And it's not just for wieners. So you can. They're doing, I think, an all-breed costume contest. I think they're doing cart races, like for dogs that are in carts where their hind end is paralyzed, which happens more frequently with long-backed breeds like Dachshunds and Corgis and those guys. And it's just going to be a blast. I can't wait for that. That's July 31st and August 1st at Grays Harbor County Fairgrounds. And again, that website is wienerfestnw.com. I had an interesting, well, I've had quite a week, actually. First of all, I learned the backup your computer lesson the hard way last week, which means my computer crashed, my hard drive broke.
Uh-oh.
And I had not yet backed up my computer, and it was one of those things, I swear, I'm not just saying this, it feels like everyone says it, like I was just about to do it. Like Darcy had just done it, and she found a thing online, and I was kind of looking into different ways to back up your computer. So the ball had just barely started rolling on that, but not fast enough because I went to open up my computer last week and it was dead. So I lost everything.
Ouch.
Well, I lost most everything, but in a weird, it's like I feel relieved, you know? I mean, if it was the type of thing where I really could not afford to lose everything, it would have been backed up. I mean, really, because I wouldn't have taken that risk if it would have sent me under or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. There was a lot of stuff that I've written, that I wrote several years ago or like outdated stuff. And it just saves me the time of having to go back and go through everything and clean it out. Everything's just wiped out. So I guess it's not my preference, but it's kind of been a blessing, oddly, like a fresh start. And then a lot of the stuff that I really do need, I had on emails that were not saved on my computer. So I could just go and pull the attachments off the emails. And the only thing that bums me out is that I lost all my pictures. And so I do have a lot of pictures, like Darcy has a lot of them on her computer and stuff like that. But like just a lot of the old random pictures, especially of Chewy, who's my dog who died last September. And like, I'm kind of bummed. And then all my music. Fortunately, I have all of the dog. Well, I'm sure you guys have it here, too. But I have those all on disc and stuff. So the dog talk show, I've got archived in hard copies. But so that was an interesting adventure.
All that data ended up in the big Bokashi bucket up in the sky, I guess, huh?
Yes, it did. I try not to talk about poop too much, but you know, there's a trash can on my computer here where you drag stuff. I have a Mac and you drag stuff and throw it away. It'd be great to have a little Bokashi cycle there.
Exactly. Yeah. I noticed in recent years they've changed those to be called a recycle bin rather than trash. Mm. So, you know, I think...
Maybe someday it'll be the Bokashi cycle bin.
Someday it'll be the Bokashi cycle bin. That's right.
Now, if you don't know what the heck we're talking about, Bokashi Cycle is one of our advertisers, and it is a pet waste fermentation system that I use at my house that transforms your pet's waste into something that is, it removes all the environmental contaminants, both ground and air, and turns it into something that you can basically just bury. And so it's great. Keeps dog poop out of landfills and all that. It's awesome. Listen for the commercial on this show to find out more about it. We also have a new advertiser who we're going to have on the show at the end of July. Green Shield Carpet Cleaning is now on board with the Dog Talk Show. We're very excited to have them. And what they do is all environmentally friendly carpet cleaning, and he's got some very interesting information about effective, safe ways to take care of pet stains on carpets. So we look forward to having him on the show in a little over a month to share his wisdom and, you know, kind of save some money too, because a lot of people go out and, you know, we think that we have to buy something specifically for pet stains, and some of them actually have chemicals in them, and there are some common household ingredients and cleaners that you can use to clean up pet stains just as well. So we'll have them on. It's greenshieldcarpetcleaning.com. Look forward to that too. So Eric, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will have Robin Fritz, who's the author of Bridging Species, Thoughts and Tales About Our Lives with Dogs. Stay tuned. We'll also be giving away in the third segment a couple copies of this book. So stay tuned for that. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Picking up dog or cat poop is a necessary pet owner's ritual. Plastic poop bags put in the trash end up in landfills, produce methane gas, and contaminate our hard-to-get clean water. Bokashi Cycle's Pet Cycle fermenting system provides a simple, sustainable solution to a growing problem. Pet waste is safely and rapidly transformed into a product that restores nutrients and microbes to the soil. Pet Cycle is an easy and natural system you can use at home to end polluting. Visit www.bokashicycle.com or call 1-800-714-2130 to order your pet cycle system today.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Hi, I'm Vicky St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
June 21st, Vicky talks with Catherine Schultz, the world's leading wrongologist, about being wrong and adventure in the margin of error.
Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine with over 60 years of experience will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Conscious living for conscious people. Alternative Talk 1150.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And we are here with Robin Fritz, author of Bridging Species, Thoughts and Tales About Our Lives with Dogs. Welcome to the Dog Talk Show, Robin.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be there.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. And I actually just got to the... I'm just at the token cat story, so I'm just about done with the book. It's been a really fun read.
Thank you.
You've got some events coming up, too. And I just love the inspiration and sort of the message. And you really talk about really creating families with animals.
That's what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit more about that. What inspired you about that, or a little more detail about that?
I have a foot disability, which keeps me from standing or walking for very long, and isolated for a long time. And at one point, I decided to get another dog in my life, and I bought a Cavalier puppy after a lot of research about what would fit my lifestyle and how I would fit their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And I got out and about, and I started watching this puppy, Murphy Brown, who will actually be 12 in July.
Mm-hmm.
And I started watching her behave with people, and the investigative journalist in me was going like, this is interesting. So I was looking at her playing people on the street and really interacting with people, engaging their personalities, and adapting her personality and approach to them to match. And I became fascinated by what was going on in her head.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking over time of years of living with her and with our second dog, Alki, and then later with our cat, how we could make our lives different, or how they were different, and how we were looking at animals in our society. Living with Murphy made me realize that we were taking a lot of things for granted and looking at animals as pets and adapting to them as family members, and they're adapting to us. What are we actually doing in our families, in our societies, and what can that tell us about getting along with other people in other countries and other beings who are not humans?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like, as time goes on, there is a different consciousness about, for some anyway, or more and more, I guess, about sort of how we are experiencing animals in our lives and how, you know, people really do use that word family more and more and more in describing their relationship with their pets.
They do, and I think it's wonderful and it's fascinating. And one of the great pieces of fun for me in going out with my book and talking to groups is when I tell people, I've written this book and I'm talking about creating families with animals. They talk about their animals.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so wonderful to hear those stories, because years ago I had an English Cocker Spaniel and I absolutely adored that dog.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere along the line, my looking at an animal in my family became different for me. They are part of my family. They do have rights and responsibilities, and I believe they have souls and consciousness and free choice, and that makes my life more complicated, but it also makes it richer and deeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how long ago did you have, was your English Cocker your first dog?
She was actually my second dog.
Mm-hmm.
We grew up with Vizslas.
Mm-hmm.
And those were amazing dogs as a young child. And I got a beagle when I was newly married. And oh my God, Beagles are wild, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it just at some point, we realized that we just couldn't provide her with a home she needed.
Mm-hmm.
When we were both out busy working, and she just didn't get the exercise or attention.
Mm-hmm.
So we looked around, and we found her a family.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me feel bad about choosing the right dog for your lifestyle and giving them the home that they deserve. And when I got my English Cocker, it was on the recommendation of people. We had a busy lifestyle. She was an active dog. And there's a whole thing, as you know, about it, matching people's temperaments with the dog's temperaments and providing the right space. And she was just absolutely a huge joy in my life. And we were together for 10 years.
Wow. That's great. And how long did you go without a dog before you got Murphy?
12 years.
Really?
12 years.
Wow.
I couldn't get over losing Maggie for 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was going through being handicapped and being ill and taking care of my parents, who also then passed on. And I finally was like, okay, what do I want and need in my life, and what would I like to give back? And I thought, you know, I really missed having a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually sat down and did a lot of research on dogs again and what was going on in the world before I settled on a Cavalier.
Mm-hmm. And you talk a lot about your and to give the full name, it's a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel.
Exactly.
And I was doing some research about this breed,
mm-hmm.
and they're known as the companion dog.
They are.
The dog that was bred to be a companion. And I just, it's interesting the timing of this book, because I just got done working with a client who has two Cavalier King Charles Spaniels, one two-year-old male and then a six-month-old female.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked with them for a few weeks doing intensive training program. She's getting ready for a baby. And they are just a delight to work with, and just, oh my gosh, their little faces and their little fat muzzles were so cute, just like looking up at me with their big brown eyes. And
they are absolutely adorable dogs.
Yeah, just a wonderful temperament. And I can really see that they were good examples of that, you know, kind of the purpose of the breed, or that reputation of the breed.
And you know, Julie, and I think that's a wonderful point that you make, because when I decided to get a dog, I did realize that I had limitations and I needed to be able to keep a dog healthy and happy and, you know, not dishonor it as a dog.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a stuffed toy. You know, I needed to provide it with a quality life. And so I did a lot of research, and I was not against going to the shelter or adopting a rescue dog. And in fact, since then, I have been very involved in Cavalier Rescue,
mm-hmm.
Which I finally backed away from to concentrate on my writing, thinking I could help more dogs by writing about our families
mm-hmm.
than I could rescuing one-on-one. But I looked at a number of different breeds, and you think sometimes that a small dog is a perfect fit. So I was looking at those small little terriers, the Norwich and the Norfolk Terriers,
yeah.
and realizing, wait a minute, they may be small, but you cannot give them a quality of life unless you're out there really being active.
Yeah.
And Cavaliers were bred as companion animals. They have a historical reference to prescribing a comfort spaniel, as they were called, to Queen Elizabeth when she was ill, to tuck it in bed with her and warm up with it.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, they make excellent family dogs. They make excellent companions for the elderly and the handicapped. Mine get a lot of exercise, but they're also very happy being your companion. And that's a wonderful thing, but in a sense, it's also somewhat of a burden in that you really do need to look at them as parts of you, parts of the family,
mm-hmm.
and consider their feelings or sensitive dogs.
Mm-hmm. And that's something to appreciate about any breed. And what's so important is that, you know, some people just think of dogs as, you know, dogs, but there's so many variation not only between breed groups and breeds, but also individuals within even the same breed. And that's one of the probably the first things that I say or make sure that, you know, I'm really present to and communicate to people when I'm working with dogs around training and behavior, is that you have to look at everyone as an individual. And that there are some things to understand about the breeding and the genetics and the drives, you know, a herding breed versus a spaniel, they're going to have different behaviors just based off of genetics. But to also just really tune into them as individuals and what, you know, how they learn best, what methods work best for that individual, and also understanding the dynamic between the people and the dogs as well.
And that's really important, and I'm glad as a trainer you emphasize that with people. There have been a number of times when I've been out with my dogs, we've met young children, and both my dogs adore children, but my boy, Alki, absolutely adores children. And I remember one time we were outside and a man was there with two young girls, they were maybe 5 or 6, and they said, can we visit with your dogs? And the little one sat down on the grass, and Alki very gently just laid himself across her lap.
Cute.
And she just sat there and petted him. And her father cried.
Aww.
He said, that's what I thought we were going to get when we got a dog. But they got a little terrier, and the dog didn't relate to them at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very sad to hear for the dog's life as well as for the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really about having appropriate expectations of what the dog can offer. And, one thing about terriers is that they really tend to be pretty independent.
Pretty independent, a lot of energy. The best terrier people in the world that I know are my neighbors down the street who have an Airedale, and my gosh, they just, that dog gets exercise, attention, he's just fabulous, and they know, they take him out, they work with him, and they get all the joys of a terrier,
yeah,
which is amazing.
Yeah.
But even among Cavaliers, there's a difference in temperament and behavior.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us think we want female dogs because we think somehow they're more companion-oriented and they're going to be more mellow and gentle with us. And with Cavaliers, it's actually the males.
Mm-hmm.
Alki is what I call my Velcro dog. I had to really get used to him being around me 24/7 because I work out of my home.
Mm-hmm.
Does not want to be away from you for a minute, whereas Murphy, my female, is more independent, and that's a characteristic you don't think about usually with other breeds.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with Robin Fritz, author of Bridging Species, and in this next segment, we're going to do some dog talk show trivia and give away a couple of copies of this book. So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Hi, I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, the show that lets you talk with your animals Wednesdays at 3 p.m. As a medium, I talk with your companions live on air to find the answers to the questions you want to ask. Call in and ask about health, behavior, transitions in life, or anything else. Even talk with animals who have crossed over. Animals have wonderful things to say. Join us for a fun-filled and inspiring hour Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Talk with Your Animals with Joy Turner, the show you and your animal companions are going to love.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
The new mainstream of talk radio. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Every direction that she'll get you anyhow. She's a golden retriever.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. We are back with Robin Fritz, author of Bridging Species, Thoughts and Tales About Our Lives with Dogs. Welcome back, Robin.
Thank you.
Well, we were just talking about the breed featured in the book, Your Dog's Cavalier King Charles Spaniels. And I'm going to give away a couple of copies of your book.
Yay.
And I would like to ask anybody who has won anything in the last month to please not play Dog Talk Show trivia this time so that we can give other people the opportunity to play. And so the first question that I have is to name two other spaniels other than the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. So can you name two other spaniels other than the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel? The number to call is 425-373-5527. 425-373-5527. Or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. So if you have won something in the past month, please don't play today. But otherwise, give us a call if you can name two other types of spaniel other than the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel.
I think even I could get this one.
425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. And if you can name two other types of spaniels, then you will receive a free copy of Bridging Species, Thoughts and Tales About Our Lives with Dogs. 425-373-5527. Now, I could definitely do the two, but I pulled up my list of breeds, and I'll be specific and say that are recognized by the American Kennel Club. There's lots of, actually... Here's one that I actually hadn't even heard of before, but there's also other ones that, actually lots of other spaniels. And, you know, Robin, there's a book called The Modern Dog.
Yes.
And I think written by Stanley Coren. And it was very interesting talking with him about the evolution of the gun dog and how it coincided with the evolution of guns and hunting and how the dogs and their basically how they served people and worked with people out in that setting evolved as the technology evolved from the hounds, the pointers, the spaniels, the retrievers. It was really, really interesting.
That makes sense. I mean, yeah. They were out there. Cavaliers were actually used as flushing dogs for the masters of a house and then comfort spaniels for the family members.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we have Renee from Bellevue on line one who is going to attempt to answer the question. Hi, Renee.
Hi. Cocker, of course, I think. Isn't that an English spaniel?
There's English Cocker and there's
Spanish.
There's
But I can't read. Is that the Cavalier? That's the Cavalier. And then, let's see, there is the Welsh Spaniel. But I can't remember what it's called.
That would be the Welsh Springer Spaniel.
Yeah, the Springer. Yeah. So
great. Well done.
Thank you.
So there's the English Springer Spaniel and there's the Welsh Springer Spaniel.
Yeah.
But those are the two different Springer Spaniels. So good job. There's also the English Cocker and the American Cocker.
And the one you're talking about today, isn't that also considered a Spanish spaniel or not? Do I have that mixed?
Robin, have you heard that?
No. Oh, okay. Okay. No. Maybe it's just somebody that refers to theirs that way. I don't know.
I don't see any Spanish spaniels here on the AKC website. I know there's a Spanish water dog.
Okay. I have.
Irish water spaniel, right?
Yep. American water spaniel and Irish
and
water spaniel.
And they're amazing dogs. Yeah. Actually, they think the early origins of the Cavalier breed came from Spain.
Okay.
So that might be what you're thinking.
Is that what it is? Okay, I didn't know. And then the Irish, I have a friend who has a spaniel, and he goes by Irish, and he's just so beautiful. I believe he's an Irish spaniel.
Irish water spaniel?
And I think that's why they called him Irish, but he's just wonderful.
Good. Well, Renee, thank you so much for calling in, and we're going to send you back to Darcy, get your mailing address, and then send you out a copy of this wonderful book.
Thank you, Renee.
All right.
I hear many spaniels also enjoy paella, so that's
there
possibly
you go.
Where the whole Spanish thing came from.
Well, it's interesting in like you said, Robin, about what they were bred to do. The spaniels, in talking about, you know, the evolution of hunting and the technology of guns, and the spaniels came along when, and their job really is to just run sort of chaotically through brush and flush everything out.
That sounds like my Alki.
Yeah.
He's really good at that.
He's a good spaniel then, because
he fetches a stick like nobody's business. Yeah. Not always the one you throw, or doesn't always bring it back intact. He eats it halfway through. But they did. You know, they're small dogs low to the ground, and they're out there flushing the birds for the hunters.
Yep. And that's a different in looking in the sporting breed group, different from, you know, a retriever, which is bred to sit quietly next to their person while they hunt. And then once something is gotten, to go and swim out, gently retrieve it and bring it back. So if you think of just the, okay, well, if those were those two breeds' jobs, you can see the difference in energy level and temperament, given just the difference in job description between a retriever and a spaniel.
Exactly. Yeah. And isn't it the Pekingese that was kept indoors in Tibet to sound the alarm for the big dogs outside to take care of the invaders?
Yes. Yeah.
Would have been my choice of a day job would be in the inside Pekingese.
Yeah. Yeah, they sound off to alert the big dogs who are outside to get up and go check it out.
Right. And then in the different breeds, too, you have the coat difference, which for your Labradors and so on.
Yep.
That crazy coat that Cavaliers have, my God, I can't imagine them running through the brush and flushing game, my God.
I know.
The sticks.
I read something in the history of the breed that it was very intentional that the breed standard requires that they not be clipped.
For show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's interesting watching dog shows. You see these insanely groomed dogs, or the poodle, which was actually, rumor has it, kind of a joke and a kind of fixing the mess before a dog show, but also to keep their joints warm, they say, when they were hunting. But the Cavaliers have that unkempt look.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually was a hesitation for me because I'd lived 10 years with an English Cocker, and I learned to groom her and keep her clipped up, more clipped than most of them are these days. And these dogs with the shaggy feet and shaggy coats, I'm like, well, I get a puppy, it's going to take 3 years for that coat to come in. By then, I'll be used to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that kind of might put judges off in the show ring because they do look unkempt with that long, shaggy look.
Especially around their paws, which I think is adorable.
The slippers, right, which we keep clipped now at our house because my one dog, Murphy, is older, and gosh, that can turn under, and they slip on hardwood floors.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it is adorable. I do get used to it now. I don't know why I never liked it before.
Yeah.
But they do have an awful lot of hair. I do get tired of all the hair.
Yeah. Well, we've got another copy of your book to give away.
Good.
So let's ask the second trivia question. And this is for a free copy of Bridging Species, Robin's book, Thoughts and Tales About Our Lives with Dogs. We'll get a free copy of that sent out to you if you can answer this question. And this one, I think, is a little bit harder than the first one. But going along the lines of the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, we're going to ask another breed question. But this time, I'm going to ask you to name a breed, the first person to call in and name another breed of dog other than the two we've already said, the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel and the Cocker Spaniel. One breed of dog that begins with the letter C. And the first person to call in and answer that question correctly will win the second copy of this book, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Or toll free, 888-298-5569. So we will mail you a free copy of this wonderful book, Bridging Species, Thoughts and Tales About Our Lives with Dogs, if you can call in and name another breed other than Cavalier, King Charles Spaniel, and Cocker Spaniel that begins with the letter C. Do you have a couple in mind yourself, Robin?
I do have one.
All right. Well, the phone line's lit up, so we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we will see what the first caller says, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, girl. You're crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, girl. Crying all the time.
Does it break your heart to see your dog limping, not feeling well, anxious, or nervous? You know something is wrong, but you're unable to find any answers. Animal healing expert Vicki Draper combines her intuitive connection, her healing gift of touch, and her extensive training to serve you and your pet. Vicki performs both local and distant sessions, providing you with her services from both near and far. Clients have reported Vicki saving them hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Contact Vicki Draper at www.vimere.com. That's VIMIERE.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of animals. This week, it's Father's Day and my birthday. We'll celebrate both with Jeff Guidry and Freedom the Eagle. They'll join me in the studio for the entire show. We'll talk about Jeff's new book, An Eagle Named Freedom, My True Story of a Remarkable Friendship, and we'll have open phone lines so you can talk to Jeff, too. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Exceptional Mountain View property is now available just 90 minutes north of Seattle. Come see for yourself the expansive south-facing views of Whitehorse Glacier as you stand on the banks of the North Fork of the Stillaguamish River, a steelhead and eagle paradise. This 5-acre riverfront property is yours to build on or just to enjoy year-round. Call Vaughn Provo with Preview Properties at 425-359-0165 or on the web at vaughnprovo.com.
Radio for your body, mind, and spirit. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. A little bit of
little
silence.
Thing stopped playing for some reason.
Oh,
sorry
that's
about
okay,
that.
Eric. So we have got a couple callers. We've got actually Eric in Seattle on line one, who's going to answer the question, give us another dog breed that begins with the letter C. Hi, Eric.
The dog I had is the Chesapeake Bay Golden Retriever.
Chesapeake Bay
Retriever. Chesapeake Bay Retriever.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Well done.
Yeah.
So we are going to send you back to Darcy, Eric, and get your mailing address, and we'll send you out a copy of Bridging Species.
Well, before you send it to me, I have to ask it. I'm actually from Maryland. I'm here on business. Will you send the book all the way back to Maryland for me?
I think I can do that.
Excellent. Yep. I just turned your radio show on. I loved it, and I just decided to call, so that's great.
Well, wonderful. And you bring up a very good point, Eric, because the Dog Talk Show is available on iTunes.
Oh, really?
So
okay.
You can go to iTunes in the podcast section and find the Dog Talk Show with Julie Forbes. That's me. And all of our episodes, we've had about, I think 68 so far. You can get them all as a free download on iTunes.
Well, that's good. I look forward to checking that out.
Yeah, so we'll get your Maryland address and get this book out to you. And thanks so much for tuning in.
Thanks very much. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Wonderful out-of-state listener. He was in the right place at the right time, huh? So you talk about a lot of really interesting things, Robin, in the book. Everything from vaccines to food to picking up dog poop. There was one story, though, that I wanted you to share and to talk a bit about, because you had you were living with Murphy at the time of the one of the earthquakes in Seattle, and she actually knew when it was about to come.
Right. That was February 28th, 2001, mm-hmm. which those of us who live here remember that huge 6.8 earthquake.
Mm.
And I had not only noticed Murphy's behavior changes around people and that we shared similar health issues, and Martin Goldstein had been writing about people in his Nature of Animal Healing, writing about people and animals and having mutual health concerns. But we had been going about our regular morning, and Murphy was curling up for a nap when all of a sudden she just went berserk.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh my God, you know, I'd never seen her like that. And here's a Cavalier, a small, mild-mannered dog, very friendly, jumping, leaped straight up in the air, jumped on top of me, sunk her teeth into my pants, is dragging and barking and dragging and barking. And the phone rang twice. And I thought, well, okay, she has diarrhea, of course, wouldn't you think that?
Right.
And she's dragging me out the door, and we get out the door, and we're in the hallway of our condo building, and the noise is deafening, and I have no idea what's going on. I thought the building was imploding from a plane crash here. I didn't feel the earthquake where we were.
Mm-hmm.
We heard this noise, and we have low-flying airplanes here.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I thought, well, the only way out of this is to leave Murphy behind. We're probably already dead, because her building is right here on the hillside, and I'd have to leave her behind. And I turned back and looked at her, and her eyes met mine, and that was it. You know, you don't play hero, or you don't think about hero. You just make a choice.
Yeah.
And my choice at that point was to rush forward into the building collapse, grab her, and turn to run. And she jumped into my arms, and we got to the front door, and I saw a telephone pole doing the hula across the street, and we were like, oh, okay, it's an earthquake, you know, and backed up, and we managed to dodge flying debris and so on and get through it. But it was only later that I realized, after thinking about it, that she reacted to this quake at least 2 minutes before it actually hit.
Mm-hmm.
She knew it was coming. And I started talking with people around town, and people said that their cats were going crazy for several hours before the earthquake hit. People that were sitting at home or at work and had their cats with them, their cats suddenly dove for cover several minutes ahead of time. Earthworms showed up on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And scientists talk about the electromagnetic sound wave that can precede an earthquake.
Mm.
That the electromagnetic changes in the earth are certainly what drove the earthworms up, and which caused the things like the little geysers of water in the sandy soil down around the waterfront here in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
But that animals can sense that change in electromagnetic frequency, you know, or maybe the earthquake talked to them and told them it was coming, whatever. She knew that was happening. She'd never behaved like that before or since. And that made me start to think about consciousness.
Yeah. And she was also not only that, but she also then was like, we need to get out of the house.
Right.
So that level,
like,
of awareness.
She was dragging me out. And,
yeah,
you know, she said, okay, the earthquake is coming. The building's coming down. I need to get out. And you're the one that opens the door. True.
Yeah.
But we each acted deliberately to help the other person at that point. And she was very clear about, we need to go and we need to go now, and did not let up on me, which was quite a shocking experience.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to think about consciousness too. And I had an interesting thing happen last week in my yard. I live next to a green belt in actually just due east of you on Beacon Hill here in West Seattle. And I looked out my window. It was a beautiful weekend. I think it was on Saturday that this happened. Gorgeous day. Had the dogs outside, sunbathing on the deck. And I had gone back to my office for about 10 minutes to just write an email or something like that. And then I heard one of the dogs bark. And so I thought, well, I should go let him in. And I walked towards the front of the house. And there I looked outside out the front window. And just in front of my house was a swarm of thousands of bees.
Oh, my goodness.
And I thought, like, what is happening? I felt like I was in a movie.
Yeah.
And was able, fortunately, to call my brother, who lives in Missouri, who's a biologist, and ask him what the heck was going on. But he said, well, they're either moving in or they're moving out. But basically what happens is the queen decides she doesn't want to live where they are anymore and leaves, and they all follow.
They all go with her.
And it was just so they were there for within a matter of about 30 to 40 minutes. They all went, they slowly condensed around one branch and then actually formed, they all clung on to each other and formed almost what looked kind of like a beehive, but made out of solid bees.
Wow.
And I guess what they were doing was protecting the queen and maybe some other of the bees who would start to basically eat into a tree to make a new hive and, you know, eat out usually rotten wood and make beeswax and all
right.
this type of stuff. And it was like unlike anything I've ever seen in my life. I mean, thousands of bees all
That's
in
amazing.
Front of our house only. And I looked at our neighbor's house, no bees. I looked into the green belt, no bees. I was like, what's going on? So, of course, immediately the first thing I did was let the dogs inside. But I watched this take place over about 45 minutes, and it was just amazing. And it got me really thinking about, like, collective consciousness. And
exactly.
It's like, how do those bees all communicate with each other? And it's almost like they don't have to because it's a collective consciousness. So it's really just
ants.
You know. Yeah. Oh, I know. Ants
hurting aphids.
Yeah.
Yeah, birds, well, we watch the crows here take care of each other.
Mm.
We think of consciousness as what humans think and humans say, and we value that as being above everything, when in fact, bees don't need that.
Yeah.
Orcas don't need TVs.
Yeah.
They need something else, which doesn't make them lesser, it makes them different.
Right.
And that makes them equal in my mind. And that's when we talk about, and that's why we're having these gatherings, to bring people together to talk about their experiences with other species.
Mm-hmm. And you've got two coming up here.
We do.
One just in a couple of days on June 18th, and that's at 6:30 p.m. this Friday at Emerald Spiral in West Seattle. And you've also got another one on July 16th. At East West Bookshop on 65th and Roosevelt.
Right.
And that is from 7:30 to 9. And you said it's a get-together, talk a little bit about the book, but for also just an opportunity for people to talk about, tell stories about and around creating families with animals.
Right. I think it's time to get people together to talk about if we think of them as something beyond being our pets. And what does that mean? And you can have fun around those conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been amazed at the wonderful stories people have shared with me already about how close they are with their animals and what they've learned and the fun times they've had. So
yeah,
we're looking forward to having some good gatherings with people.
Yeah. Well, that sounds great. I'm going to post that information, too, on the Dog Talk Show website.
Great. Thank you very much.
And on my the Dog Talk Show Facebook page and all that stuff. So the website is dogtalkshow.com. And all of our past shows are archived on iTunes. So you can go to iTunes and listen to any of our past shows. They are also all archived on the website in the podcast section there, too, which is www.dogtalkshow.com. So you can find all of our past shows there. And Robin, thanks so much for your time today and for coming on the show and having this lovely conversation.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it. And thank you for including us.
Yes, my pleasure. So we're going to be back next week, Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m., talking about the pet loss support groups that are offered here locally in Seattle. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.